Welcome to a Wholeness Podcast, a healthy home for hair professionals and our clients, where health and happiness is the top priority for those within the hair industry. Serving those who serve and giving the hair industry one great big hug. Hello, I'm your host, Fliss Downs, a barber, yogi, and meditation teacher. Come on in. Before I crack on with today's episode, if you haven't done so already, please hit the follow button on Spotify or on iTunes and leave me a star rating and review. By doing this, you will be helping me reach a wider audience and get the message out there sooner rather than later. I'd also like to mention that this podcast is proudly sponsored by Earth and Soul Pizza. If you are local to or travelling through Bairnsdale, use my promo code LOVEFLISS. That's LOVEFLISS. And get yourself a free large pizza when you buy one. With locally sourced produce and food exceptionally made by the team at Earth and Soul Pizza, be sure to get your wholesome, blissful pizza. After recording an episode with Carol Black in episode 35, I had to reconnect with Kerry Blue after initially speaking with them back in 2020 when all of this began. It was an absolute honour and delight to speak with Kerry again and to hear their story growing up, coming out, walking the footsteps in the fashion industry to then becoming a barber based on Kerry's personal experience in a barbershop. As I mentioned in episode 35, the LGBTQ plus community plays a role in my life as my brother and his friends are among that community. And not just because this involves my brother, but I'm a huge advocate to not judge others and to always make people feel welcome. I believe, as a human, it is our duty to make another human feel that they can be exactly who they are, regardless of their race, sexuality, and religion. I have always had this principle. If I ever see an individual feeling out of place or uncomfortable, it is my role to make that person feel at ease in their environment. I can take myself back to many times being at gatherings and parties, and from a bird's eye view, I can see myself approaching that person in the corner. No one should feel isolated, alone or frozen, but yet many of us, and purely focusing on the LGBTQ plus community, I can see how this occurs more often than not. In today's episode, you will learn Kerry's background, the education platform that they have created and co-founded with Carol, now known as Affirmation. It is an absolute pleasure to be an ally for the LGBTQ plus community, and I very much look forward to collaborating in the future with Kerry and Carol. So what are we waiting for? Let's get stuck into it.
I don't even know whether you would remember me from 2020 when I did the Hair Has No Gender workshop online during COVID days.
Yeah, I think I do remember. We spoke quite a bit back then.
We did, sure. Yeah, because you was getting into the groove of it and I was like, yes, I'm loving this message. And then of course life goes on. COVID did go on.
Hang on. Yeah, I do remember, and I think I was only just starting it up, but it wasn't even really a thing back then, so it's come away. But yeah, sorry I've been so slack. Are you in Australia or something then?
I live in Australia, but I'm currently visiting New Zealand.
But was you in Australia in 2020?
No, I got stuck.
I didn't think so. That's why I was baffled, because I thought, oh, it's okay, we'll do this Zoom at this time. And now I've realised why, because I was like, wait a minute, I'm pretty sure this isn't in this country. But my ADHD, because Carol was like, but dude, she doesn't live in the UK. And I was like, what? And I was like, yeah. I can barely understand Carol anyway. So then I was like, what the hell?
Let me know. It's all good, Kerry, honestly. So we literally met, of course, online 2020 when lockdowns were happening. I can't even remember how I found you or came across you. But at the time, Affirmation was Hair Has No Gender.
Yeah.
You was doing miniature online workshops where the attendees got a certificate, which is what I got. And I was trying to go through my emails, trying to find that certificate as well, to be like, what day did I do that on? But I couldn't find it anywhere.
I'll get you a new one.
Yay. So You said that was the start of your journey with Hair Has No Gender, and now it's gone to affirmation. And I think, if I'm correct, you've been on stages, you've spoke at events, you're of course still doing the workshops.
Yeah. The workshops, the trainings are still there. They're not as online. Like before when I did it, it was online for anyone to join. And I think I had up to 20 people per session. Now it's more brand orientated or salon orientated, or it would be straight to college or university. So I'll just go to specific groups and I'll teach them as and when, rather than doing them online. But they will be coming back to an online portal.
Amazing.
Because from around about May, June, because I'll have a lot of time out after I'm having some surgery, so I'll have time to just sit and have people do that then. So
Absolutely. So talk me through the journey. I'd love to know, if you're happy to share, your journey leading up to Hair Has No Gender back in 2020, and what was the drive, the purpose behind it?
I would say the short story is, I'm from West London, Notting Hill. I came out to my parents as gay at the time, actually round about when I was 21. So about 20 odd years ago, 42 this year, check me. But yeah, back then it wasn't really reciprocated very well. My mum assumed it was a phase and my dad was like, you need to get out. So I left home. I went to live with a girlfriend at the time. We broke up and I ended up in what's called Stonewall Housing in Hackney. And they took good care of me, which is a place where they'll go and look after LGBT youths who have no one to really turn to. Got a job within the fashion industry. I always loved clothes, hair, anything to do with identity and expression. And then my mum called me and said that my dad said to come home. And it must have been about 3 to 6 months after I'd been put into helping housing. And it's because my dad's brother got killed in a car accident. And he was like, life's too short, you need to come home. And it's kind of bittersweet. I think that moment for my dad made him realise that it doesn't really matter, my sexuality. And actually, to this day, I think they were more scared for me than of me, if that makes sense. I'm not making excuses for homophobia at all. But they grew up in an era where the AIDS epidemic was massive. And I think a lot of the media did scare people. Because I honestly thought growing up, I've got some disease, I'm not okay, I'm not protected, because I knew I was gay. And then I went back home, but it didn't last long. We just got on each other's nerves. And so I asked for a transfer to Brighton, and my parents said, yeah, we'll help you go there. That's really good for gay people. We'll ship you off.
I love Brighton so much. Brighton's, I actually would love to live there one day.
Mate, it's a vibe. I'd love to go back in one sense, in another, I suppose that chapter's closed, but I went to Brighton. They put me in a studio where my fridge was on my bed, sort of thing. And I didn't know anyone at the time at all. And then I ended up being there 12 years and really just becoming my true self. And for me, Brighton was my is kind of still my home in that sense. It allowed me to explore who I was, which brings me on to, I was never really identifying as a lesbian. I didn't feel like I could identify as a lesbian, but I didn't feel like a gay man. I'd always questioned my identity, but I think being gay was bad enough. I didn't want to think, oh my God, what if I'm trans as well? Just because of the fear that had been installed in me in such a young age, whether that was knowingly or not. So I went to get a haircut because I was so into doing my hair. I used to do, did you ever shave one side of your head and just have like a long piece?
I never got to that point. I mean, look, I've always said I'd love to shave all my hair off, but I'm really attached to my big, fluffy
hair. You
have
got amazing hair. I'll give you, I wouldn't shave your hair if you were, but
my hair is dead straight, Kerry. It's poker straight, and I make it like this. Honestly, I would love to do it, but I also, this is a little bit of vulnerability, I really don't like the shape of my head, and that's another reason why I have big hair, because it takes away the shape of my head. It's the most weirdest insecurity
I get it. I used to shave mine, and then I was like, I wish I could learn to do this. So I used to shave a couple of my friends who were there, and he was like, go to the barbershop, because I used to keep going to hairdressers and it was a good enough cut obviously, but I just wanted it shaved, and they would never shave it. Like they were like, oh, we don't use clippers, and I was like, right, okay, I'm gonna have to just go to a bloody barbershop. This is pre-lockdown. I'm queuing up for ages for this barbershop. There's a load of lads in there, men with their sons, and then there's me. and some girlfriends of the guys. And then I asked for a haircut, and the guy literally was like, "Oh, we can't cut your hair." And I was like, "Why? Is that because you're a girl?" And I was like, "Right." And he said, "Yeah, we're not insured to cut female hair." And I was like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah." I was like, "But I literally want what you've just done to that lad on my hair, please." And he was like, "No." He said, "You can try the barbers down the road." So it was really embarrassing. It made me feel like shit, to be honest. It made me feel really bad. So then I did manage to go somewhere and got it cut. But then after that, I was like, well, I think I'm going to learn to be a barber so that doesn't happen to anyone else ever again. Because the cut I got after as well was the most euphoric I'd ever felt. I was like, I can't even explain. I was like, oh my God, this is me. I remember I've even still got the pictures on my phone. I think it must have been around about 2009. And I took so many pictures from every angle because I couldn't believe that it was me, if that makes sense. So I rang my mum and I was like, "Guys, I've been away for years. Do you reckon you can house me for a couple of months while I learn to be a barber? Give up my really high-end career that I had in fashion retail, which I was on quite good money. I went back to London. I learned to be a barber, 50 quid a day, if that, at the age of 30, which was pretty goddamn scary." Yeah. And that led me to barbering, which took me into those avenues because then I came out and I was like, well, I had someone come in with type 4 afro hair and I was like, no one taught me how to do this. So then I was discriminating against them. So then I went to an afro barber shop to learn everything I could. I didn't know how to do wet shaves, so I went to an Italian shop. So the Italians are really good at the sculpting and the blades, and I wanted to understand everything. So in that case, I literally couldn't discriminate against someone like I felt. And then lockdown happened. And then I was really bored and I was like, I wonder how many people go to a barbershop who identify as female or they just want short, they're cisgendered women or straight, not necessarily gay, or if they have short hair and they want a buzz cut, but they're female and the guy goes, "Oh, you must be a lesbian or this or that." And I was like, it must be so hard because it's such a euphoric thing, but it's so hard to find that safe space. So I just started a SurveyMonkey or something, or Google,
Mailchimp.
Mailchimp, that, yeah. I don't know, Jesus Christ, I need help. But yeah, I did that. And I literally asked about 100 people on it, just random people to just do this, answer it. And the statistics that I got back from these questions, like, have you ever been discriminated against? Have you ever felt unnatural? And like 97% of LGBTQIA plus people would prefer to go to a safe space for a haircut. I think it was something like 45% of hairdressers and barbers have felt discriminated against. It was wild. So I was like, well, I wonder if I wrote to a hair magazine, a barber magazine, and said, why is there such a stigma between men going to a barber shop and women going to a hairdresser's? When the whole time I'm sitting here like, oh, I think I'm trans or non-binary, don't even know what I identified as at that time. And I did. I wrote into Charlotte over at what was Modern Barber at the time, and she pushed my story, and it blew up from there. And that's when I was like, well, I could open a gender neutral barber shop, which means there'd be four in the country because there was literally three at the time of Googling with gender neutral pricing. Or I can educate the industry into understanding that we need a safe space, keep the male and female, but add that extra space for us, that extra pocket. And that's what I chose to do. And that's when Hair Has No Gender started. And that was the long story.
I love it. This is the whole point of our honest podcast, is getting people's stories out there. And for those people that don't know about affirmation, which of course was originally Hair Has No Gender, to understand your story and your background as to how that came about, and also to learn the statistics, which are incredibly high, and to hear your own experience, for me sitting here listening, it's heart-wrenching. Also being a barber myself, former hairdresser turned barber, the amount of times that I've had clients sit in my chair who are female, who are identifying as non-binary, who identify as trans, that have said to me, I've gone into barber shops asking for a buzz, same story as you. And it sinks my heart so much because, like you say, it's discrimination. And to know that you said, but I just want that haircut that you've just done. And the guy was like, we don't have insurance to cut women's hair.
Not true. It's been looked into. I made sure that I followed facts and I tried my hardest to understand why. I mean, probably it's not his fault. It's probably someone hierarchy that has said that to him, and that's completely right. I think it could have been handled in a slightly better way, or we could teach, if that's the case, there could be a way that you could explain that or something. But I think, yeah, that haircut was totally gender affirming for me, and gender affirming haircuts have become something that I feel like I can give back to my community by doing these gender affirming haircuts and being that person that's like, you can do this, you can have this awesome haircut, and we can be trained at the highest. Like, as a barber, I've spent a lot of money in training my skills to understand people's needs and wants and the shape of their face. Like, if we want to soften it, put a fringe in, if we want to harden it, go higher for it back. And I think all these little things you can learn, like, once that client feels safe with you, they're not leaving you unless you're moving towns or cities or something happens. Like, I've got 2 months coming up soon off, and I'm like, oh my god, my clients, and literally they're like, I'll wait, and it's like, well, okay. And I hope they do, because yeah, like, it's a daunting time. And I think the hair has no gender, change names to affirmation, like, change from that to human first. Because
yes,
there was a little blip in there as well. I've got ADHD, I change a lot, but I can't change it again. It's costing too much in branding. But hair has no gender was a bit of a mouthful, and it wasn't just hair that I was doing, it was beauty that it was hitting. I had corporate companies coming for training, I had hotel chains coming for training. Schools, colleges, different sectors. So IT, university, colleges were like, everywhere needs to learn pronouns. Everyone needs to understand that. So I thought, oh, well, what's the first thing you see when someone comes in my shop door? It's the human first. Before their colour, their gender, their anything, I see a human being. And then we'll go from there. And that then changed the affirmation, because I thought it was just sounded a little bit better. And it's got the equality sign, and I got a little bit of help from one of my close friends, Carol, who you did the last podcast with.
I love Carol.
Yeah, Carol's awesome. And, you know, Carol, she's been on my side, like yourself, from 2020, and had my back, literally, from when I just Instagram messaged as a stranger saying, hey, do you ever get this? And I think that shows true, like, allyship as well. So, yeah, and Salon International last year was where I unleash the new branding, as it were. And there's a lot more exciting stuff to come. It's just a bit of a back burner at the moment.
Absolutely. It's ever evolving, isn't it? Like you say, it was hair has no gender, down to human first, to now affirmation. And actually, you using the word affirmation, just a while ago, you said about how it was an affirmation haircut. When you had that really nice short haircut, that affirmed to you who you are. And I'm so glad you've explained that, because I've been sitting here over the last few weeks whilst we've been trying to get on online together going affirmation. And I was curious around the word affirmation. And now that all makes sense.
I think that's the thing. I think the ultimate thing that the haircut will give my clients or anyone that's trained and sits them down, asks their pronouns, what they're looking for, is their leave of affirmation. Hopefully they have some affirmative, like, euphoria of who they are. And I think there's so many times I've been to a hairdresser's and asked for a short haircut, and they've done an amazing job, but it's made me look more feminine. And I didn't know that having short hair from long could make me look more feminine. And I was like, well, how have you done that? When I didn't want to look feminine, I wanted to look more masculine. So it was really hard. And it didn't affirm me at all. It made me feel even less euphoric and more dysphoric. So it was kind of like trying to figure out a way that we could get a haircut. And, you know, I think even if you're not trans or non-binary, you can still have that affirming haircut. I know for a fact my girlfriend has a lot of affirming different colours for what time she feels affirmed in that, and she'll want to be blonde or brunette at that moment. It's what makes her feel right. And that's why it's so important that we have the power and the knowledge to give a person that, because I can't give someone their gender-affirming surgery. I can't give them their medical hormones, but I can definitely give them the haircut, and that doesn't cost as much. Well, definitely everything costs a lot more nowadays, but yeah.
Yeah, That's amazing. That's so good. So at the moment in time, you've been doing in-person workshops, have you? I recall you saying at the beginning of the call that you've not done any onlines, but that's going to be coming out in about June time again.
The website's just being remade as we speak, so that'll be cool, and it'll have sections on there where you can either book haircuts, you can book workshops, or you can book something else that's very exciting, which I'm gonna keep to myself for now.
That's fine, yeah.
But there's a lot happening. I think there's gonna be an option as well where you can book the training through the website, and it's already pre-recorded too. Personally, it won't have a lot on it, because I really prefer in person. I really prefer to be in the moment, and to, especially with my story and stuff like that. I like to see people click. I like to see people be honest and be raw and be like, but I don't get it, and I don't understand pronouns. And I want to have that open debate, if it were a conversation, and not the argument, but more, I want you guys to understand why it's so validating to use pronouns and stuff like that. And I think everyone does try it. I think it's just a lack of knowledge. So, but yeah,
It
in the meantime, I've just been, hitting universities. I've been working quite closely with Schwarzkopf and Statement, different products within brands, and trying to do training for them. So it's all really exciting. It's been good to.
is. It sounds absolutely amazing. First, from where it started in 2020 to now, a matter of 4 years at how that's boomed. And it just goes to show that there's so many people out there that want to make people feel comfortable in their presence. The amount of people that actually have experienced awful experiences in a hair salon or a barber shop. And it just goes to show that it's needed, it's in demand. And it's just an amazing message. And you're hitting it right on the nail in terms of the colleges, because take me back to my training 5 to 2007, right? That does make us sound old.
Makes me feel old, didn't it? It's like when I said it, I was like, oh Jesus, that's a long time ago.
I'm 35 next month, Kerry. And I'm like, I am 25, bitch.
I still feel it. It's really weird, but yeah. Apart from when I try and give up.
But back then, there was no training around anything like that. And I also found going through my own journey with the mental health side, realizing that there wasn't no training in terms of the mental health. And then I connected with Tom Chapman, who you probably know.
I'm an ambassador for them.
These are the things that need to get into college. And
Yeah,
then
100%.
in my mind, and you probably would agree with this, Kerry, is that it actually needs to be a mental health module and an LGBTQ plus module.
Yeah,
In
agreed.
my mind.
I think that, is it VCTC have now actually made all of the qualifications gender neutral, including things like when they say male head mannequin or female, they just say the mannequin's head. Which is amazing, because as I've always said, the minute you put the gown on somebody, what matters is the hair on the head. Unless I'm dating you, I'm not concerned about what's underneath. And I think colleges and schools is 100% the way forward, because if someone's taught that in barber school, hairdressing school, whatever school it may be, what to do if someone is suicidal, or what to do if someone comes to you and they are trans. Have that open conversation, and they'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, so that's their pronoun, so right, sweet. 33% of Gen Z, they use pronouns every single day now. This isn't something that we can kind of avoid. It's something that's happening, because it is. And it's a really tough time for the trans community at the moment. And these little changes, they can surely help if we can just put them in place, because so many trans kids are taking their own life. And the suicide rates, I think it's something like 85% of trans people will think about suicide, and 43% attempt it, which is the highest attempt. It's just crazy. And to think, like, hey, mom, dad, I'm non-binary, I'm trans, can I go get a haircut? And their mom or dad brings them to me, they get a haircut, which actually happens. It's the best feeling in the world. You see this 12-year-old become themselves, and for someone who struggled with their identity for a good 30 years, I envy it a lot, and I think it's amazing how far forward we can go with literally taking gender out of the haircut price. It's such a small thing. Yeah, and it can make such a big difference.
It is such a small thing, and it does make a big difference. And it's now working our way and weaving our way through the hair industry to get that across the board everywhere. And I'm working in a barbershop and a salon. So at the front is the barbershop, at the back is the salon, and I cut hair now. So I still class myself as a barber. But if somebody really wants to be picky about what I do, I say, well, I'm a cutting specialist. I just cut hair, that's it. I don't do wet shaves, I don't colour. And we've got that difference of prices. And it's something that I'm like, oh, I just really don't feel like that's the right way to go as such. And the way that I see it, why don't we just set a set price for every quarter of an hour? If your hair takes half an hour, it'll be £50, £25 per 15 minutes. If your hair takes an hour, that means it's going to be 100. And that's
do what I do. Yeah, I have got on my pricing, like, mine is called the haircut experience, the mullet hair experience. I like to call it an experience because it's not just the haircut you're paying for. You're paying for every single part of that journey from the minute you enter the salon doors. So I actually work in a salon in the middle of Manchester. I'm the only short hair specialist in there, aka barber. So for me, the only way you're not going to discriminate is if you time it, because I can have a skin fade that takes me an hour and I can have a skin fade with really light blonde hair that takes me 15 minutes. Now, why should that person pay more or less? I don't know. It depends. Also, I have some clients who I need to be a bit more gentle with, take a bit more time, ask them more questions, get them a tea, turn them from the mirror. And I think you're never going to get it right 100%. You can't please everyone. But I definitely think what you're saying is right. Time the amount of time that you spend with, because if you think about it, like even like a massage, if someone massages someone for an hour, but one person is way bigger than the other, they still pay the same price, right? So I think there's a lot of little things that you can definitely implement in the workplace to neutralize the situation and make it fair, especially at the moment, like I say, with cost of living being so high.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so taking us to the trainings that you provide for anyone that hasn't found you before, know what you do, but are interested in the training side in terms of they're wanting to understand more, they're wanting to gauge a bit more an understanding of how to approach clients. Give us like an overview of what your training looks like. What sort of things do you talk about and go into?
Okay, yeah. So generally, if someone wants to book me for training, say on their salon, we'll keep it to hair for now just because I feel like that's the easier one. Then I would go in and I would start by doing a little bit of LGBTQIA+ like terminology. It might sound really basic to someone who identifies as LGBT, but actually a lot of the time when I say this, a few LGBT people are like, what? I didn't know that. It goes into a bit of the history, a bit of the laws regulating what the rights of LGBTQIA+ people are, and then goes into a bit of trans history, how many percent of the world's population are trans, some statistics, good and bad, a bit scary, but I'm very, very, very lighthearted with my training, as you know. And then a bit around pronouns, what they are and how you can use them. And most importantly, what do you do if you get it wrong? How to say thanks for correcting me, stuff like that. And just then how you can implement it on your workplace. So you've got your gender neutral pricing, how you've got representation. People love to see a mirror of themselves. Be what you can see sort of thing. Be what you want to see. And then your booking system. Think of the journey for someone like myself wanting to come to your salon. Do you have gender neutral toilets? Do you have someone that's going to use the right pronouns? Do you have it on your booking system? So I go through a lot of that really and guiding someone through. And that's with hair. If it was with hotels, it would be the greet at the hotel. I would adapt it to whatever industry you'd be working in and keep it upbeat and real and try and make people more aware of having that conversation. Like, how scary is it for someone to say that someone's trans? But it shouldn't be, because we're proud of being trans. And it's like, hey, don't be scared, let's just talk about it, it's cool, and have that open conversation.
Absolutely.
That's in a nutshell the training. And then there's some that I do at the moment. I'm actually working with the fellowship, so with people like Errol Doug, Ashley Hodges, Barry Stevens. I'm doing some work with them. And I'm literally doing a really exciting journey of really implementing gender neutral stuff into their showcases, their events, their awards. And that's going to be a really exciting journey. So it's any business that wants to have that training, that wants to understand more about how they can be basically more inclusive from the minute you see their inclusivity statements straight the way through, and have more people that are inclusive on your team. Have a barber or a hairdresser that's non-binary or trans, or you probably do, but they're too scared to tell you because they don't have any. And a lot of the time, the token trans or non-binary person or gay person is the person that's training the team. Like, don't do that. Let someone come in and do it. Let them feel seen. And I think that's the most important thing with from affirmation is we see you and we want to help other people feel that way. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, coming back to human first, we are all humans.
Yeah, regardless. Yeah, we are. And that slogan will still be there, affirmation on human first. We're humans. We're not born with discrimination. We're not born with racism. Like, everything in life is social construct. Just the main reason that people see the binary world existing because there is something that's made it binary. Something said that you have short hair, you are a man. You have long hair, you are a female. You like blue, you are a boy. You like... strip it back and let's see what the human inside is. And it's such an exciting place because the human you think you see actually shines so much more when they can be their true self and their authentic self.
That's all sounding exciting, my love. And God, if I was in the UK, I'd be coming to your live training.
Yeah, when are you back?
Probably not until 2026. So I'm in the process to get my current residency in Australia. So until I've got that, I won't be back into the UK, which really sucks because there's...
always fly me out. It's
absolutely... Yeah, I'll just be like, I'll just win the lottery, Kerry.
If your salon needs training, you just hit me up.
But... yeah, so do let me know when you've got that online platform up again, because I would definitely love to do the training again, because you would have adapted and changed it and made it even better than what it was 4 years ago, because you would have learned a lot of stuff along the way.
The thing with the course as well, it's ever changing because language changes, so we have to keep up with the times, and statistics change as well, some good, some worse. So it's definitely something that I will keep you up on board with. And when the new website hits live as well, I'll definitely give you that. So you can...
let me know. Yeah, because I've been trying to research you and Google you and there's not much online.
I've disappeared a bit. Yeah, I'm not the best with keeping up appearances, but I'm trying to get better. I've got people Stella Agency. My agency are really, really cool. If anyone wanted to book, they can find me through Stella. I do need to be online more. I need to do more of them story things, but you know, I don't feel like anyone's interested in my life or my day. So I just feel like, why would I do that? I'm not very interested half the time. Like, getting on with it. But I do love going to work in Manchester and getting my clients who are probably 99% queer, trans, non-binary, and having honest, open conversations about my upcoming top surgery. I can talk about that with my clients in no fear and no shame. And it's just the best feeling. I really feel impostered that I get paid for it, to be honest. But we all got to make a living, eh?
Absolutely. And so many of us probably feel the imposter syndrome around what we're wanting to do and share. Because I also feel that comes from that humble side of humans. But it's one of them things that you've experienced and lived this story, and you are not academically qualified, but you are experientially qualified to be doing what you're doing. You've literally lived a story that's enabled you to share your story, to now go on to help others, and not just the LGBT community, but also, actually, Carol taught me about cisgender. I didn't know, right? And I was like, oh, wow. And so people that are in the cisgender side of things, even we want to learn more. And such as myself, like...
The cisgender people, sorry to interrupt, you guys are the most important to us, because the more you learn, the more you understand, the more you protect us and become our allies. We are a small percent of people that are openly trans. You're looking at 1% around the entire world, which is a tiny amount by that percent. However, it's the same amount that are in wheelchairs, or the same amount that have red hair. So we are flipping everywhere. It's just that when there's, you know, when there's things that happen, like a protest, but a pride, or stuff like that. We really need that allyship. We need you guys to be like, yes, I've got them, you know, like, but yeah, cisgender people are very important to us. So we need.
It gives me goose pimples, you talking about it.
Are you showing up this cold? I'm freezing, but I'm in the
No,
middle
are
of
you?
Lancashire,
No, no,
Yorkshire. I'm in sunny New Zealand.
It is lovely weather here, I'm not going to lie that. Yeah.
Thanks for that.
I briefly touched base on it in the episode with Carol, actually. For me personally, I'm really interested and passionate about the LGBT community plus because my brother identifies as he and him, but he's queer. And I know a lot of his friends in Bristol are either trans or they're non-binary. And I really had to go through the phase with him and his friends of really getting my head around the pronouns. You know, I do slip up sometimes, even now. And it's fine because I just correct myself. And it's and like you say, it is that also thing of when somebody does use the wrong pronoun and that person corrects that person, it's actually just going, oh, thank you so much for correcting me, rather than that cisgender being like, oh, like, you know, being awkward. And
it just gets
there's
so
nothing to
awkward.
be awkward around it. There's nothing to be awkward around it. And for me, that community means something to me because my brother and his friends are in that community. And when I worked at Man About Town, I don't know whether you've heard about Man About Town down in Yeovil. They're an amazing team. I miss them so much. If I could bring them out here and work for them out here, I so would. But I probably had about 3 clients that were non-binary or going through the transition, being in their teenagers, finding themselves and going through that phase and realizing providing that safe space. It was such a privilege to see a client going from being like hood up, not wanting to look at the camera, to then coming in months down the line to a year that I've been cutting their hair. And there was no hood up. There was this confidence sitting in front of the mirror. And it gives me goosebumps because it's that change that we can make in people's lives. And it's beautiful in what you're doing and the direction that you've brought this in the last 4 years. And the direction that you're going in. So yeah, look, kudos to both you and Carol. And I love the fact that you've got Carol on board as well, looking after
Yeah, it's a big thing to take on my own. And I think that a lot of the time, like especially in the last like year or so, it just kind of really affected my own mental health. And I've had these conversations with Tom quite a lot because we go and we talk about our own personal experiences and journeys. And we could do that chat 4 times a day. And then you sit alone in a hotel room and you realise that I'm getting paid to tell people to please be nice to me and be kind to me. And then you get really angry and then all these different emotions happen. And then I think, I can't do this. This is too much. But then I see improvement and I'm like, wow, all these salons are changing this to gender neutrality. And these people are like, yeah, that's cool. And I'm like, but it's working. And if I stop, who's going to? So I think any human has bad days, right? But it's important not to get in your head. That's a lot of the reasons why I do struggle to consistently be online. And like mental health has always been an issue for me, especially with anxiety. So I think I say something and I'll finish this and I'll sit downstairs and be like, I hope I didn't say anything derogative or say anything to upset anyone. Or did that come out right? I mean, it'll go after about 10, 15 minutes, but it'll be there. And I think that's a lot of the reason why it's hard sometimes, but it's got to be done because if I've gone through these experiences and I can't share it, then what's the point? And I'm super proud to be trans non-binary, identify as queer, happy to have top surgery. T is not really an option. I don't really want that right now. It's not part of my journey, but,
what
you know,
that?
These things, to go on to T, yeah.
What does
so
that
throw? These are things that I would explain in the training, but I think because when I say I'm trans, people straight away think I'm a trans man and I'm not. It's very interesting. There's a lot of stuff to understand through the training, but ultimately I'm just Kerry, you know. I'm Kerry. I cut hair, I'm kind, and I like to have fun with it and be creative. I love how queer people can be really creative with our hairs and styles and the looks that we bring in and the mullets and just being that little bit more daring sometimes to not fit the box because we don't, quite frankly, you know.
Absolutely. And I know that you've got a GoFundMe page for your top surgery.
I do. That will expire on the 1st of April, though, because my surgery is on the 17th. around about then. So yeah, so I've got expired April, yeah. So then I've got 2 months to work and do some lives. And we should definitely do a live or a Zoom over that time, because I'll be bored.
Sure.
I can't do anything, because I can't cut hair for some time.
I would love that. This is maybe a challenge that we need to do, Kerry, is challenge you to get onto some lives, and I'll be more than happy to jump onto a live video with you. And yeah, even also hearing your story through the top surgery, because again, if you can voice your experience, it's enabling others to understand what that experience is more so like as well. Because
yeah.
I should imagine that you're going into this with quite a bit of nerves. I'm just guessing here, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, yeah, I'm absolutely shit myself.
Yeah, I can imagine that you
about
are.
The medical side of it, I think medical stuff really scares me anyway. I'm like the world's biggest hypochondriac. If I get a little bite, I think that's it. I've got embedded fleas or something. Yeah, the white coat syndrome's definitely there.
Yeah.
But if you could wave a wand and be like, boom, they're gone tomorrow, then I wouldn't even question it. So I don't question if that's the right thing. It's more a case of, how am I going to cope after? Are my clients going to come back? Are they going to wait? I'm not going to be able to work. How am I going to pay my rent? There's
Which
all the
is kind
other
of why
stuff.
You got...
I'll be a bit like out of action, because I'll need to heal properly. But I
absolutely,
think that's the scary stuff. Yeah.
I find it a little bit comical in my mind. Here I am wanting to have bigger boobs, and here you
Yeah.
are wanting to get rid of your boobs.
It is a
But
bit crazy. And it's really, it's frustrating, because if you want to have bigger boobs, you just go and pay and get bigger boobs. But even though I want mine off, I've had to pay a lot of money, which you can see on my GoFundMe. And I had to have a medical assessment from a psychiatrist. I had to have medical mammograms. I've had to have a lot of stuff, which if I wanted an increase, I wouldn't have to have, just to make sure I
which
was in the right state of mind. And I'm paying privately, you know.
Exactly. But I think also the people that are wanting a bigger bust, they should go through that too, because it's all psychological. It's all about how you feel about yourself, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, they
go
worry
on,
that
what,
if you
what
change
about,
one
Kerry?
thing, you might change the rest of it. Or, but I think a lot of the time people do that generally. I don't think it has anything to do with me being trans or non-binary. It's literally they need to go. I don't want them there. It's the same way as if I was to have long hair, I'd cut it off. Like, it's just something I can't physically do. But yeah, it's a tough one, and I think it's frowned upon a little bit as well when you have bigger ones. So when you take them off, everyone's like, well, that's even more frowned against. But you just gotta do it. You just gotta do your true self. I am scared, but I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. I'm excited to hear your journey through it. And I will definitely be posting about your link as well. And
Yeah.
I've been, I haven't contributed towards Kerry's GoFundMe yet. So please know that
No,
is on
don't,
my
don't.
list
Please
before.
don't
So,
go.
and I'm not saying that just because, but I saw obviously your link ages ago, which I liked. And I didn't know that you was going to go through that until I saw your story. And I was like, wow, like that's a life-changing moment for you. And the thing is, this is the great thing about GoFundMe pages. It could be $1 or, you know, £1 or £10. It could be $1,000. Whatever people contribute towards it is all going to add up.
Yeah, it really does. Like, I cannot believe how much money people have been contributing and how generous people have been. And five people, £5, that's £25. It's a lot of money. And it's insane. It's blown my mind. And without them, I wouldn't be able to do, like, I've always wanted this, but I've never, I just always thought I could never. £8,000 is a, I wouldn't, I've never had that type of money in my bank. So it's, for me, it's not something that I can come across every day. From a council estate in West London, and to be able to have that happen because of the generosity of people from everywhere, especially my own community, it's insane. Because gender affecting healthcare, as we know, it's non-existent. I would have had to wait another 10 years minimum on the NHS, and I'll be 50 something by then. And I think it's something I've waited for long enough now. And the reason that we hadn't discussed it when I first met you, it was definitely there. I was on the NHS waiting list for it, but I got taken off because I didn't want to go on testosterone at the time. So they didn't class me as a trans. And then I moved cities from London to Manchester. So that changed again. So there's a lot of complications around healthcare, as you know. So.
Absolutely. Well, I'm very excited for you.
Thank you.
Keep me posted with your website. In the meantime, I'll just tag your Instagram page and the affirmation underscore UK page as well, as well as your GoFundMe too. Like I said, I'll be getting this out for Wednesday, so I know it's really, really short. It's like, boom, record, boom, out there, produce, gone.
If anyone that does listen to this as well ever needs any advice or anything, been affected by anything that we spoke about as a safeguarding issue, just come holler at me. I can either try and help, or I've got a lot of links, people I can safeguard you to and send people to. And I really want that to be put on the show, just because I think that's really important. I think a lot of people might feel like, oh, but they can't ask, but you definitely can. And I won't charge anyone for asking me stuff at all.
Yeah, no, so, that's amazing. And you've just rounded up. I was just going to be saying to you, is there anything that you want to share? And of course, so like, if there's anything else, then fire away, because I think that's so important, like you say, to know that somebody could just go onto Instagram and send you a DM, whether that's they're within the LGBTQ plus community or not, to give these people an open space. So thank you so much for sharing that. You beat me to it, Kerry. Is there anything else that you want to elaborate on?
Be the change that you want to see. And just remember that this subject could affect you. If it doesn't affect you now, it might affect you in the future. It could be your brother, your sister, your aunt, your niece, your uncle, anyone that you know, a friend, a best friend. You don't always have to understand. Biology is very confusing, but kindness is so simple. And just to be a beautiful person, it's not hard. And I think a lot of the time people are like, oh, it's just too much because everything's PC at the moment, right? But if you have them open conversations, then it doesn't have to be. It's just words. It's just language. So let's use actions and let's make that change. That small change, like that email pronoun on the bottom of the email, it could literally save a life. It's been really cool catching up with you again for this, because it's been ages.
So sorry.
I'm very flaky. I'm even worse with my friends, trust me. The only person that gets my full attention, honestly, is my puppy and my clients, because that's the only time I'm not on the phone.
It's absolutely fine. Look, it's been so lush to reconnect with you, and it's pretty much nearly 4 years ago since we first connected.
Yeah,
and it's just amazing how that comes back around. You know, we've both been going on our own journey. I've been in the mental health space and did a bit of work with Tom as well, and
awesome.
And now I'm in the phase of creating a space for hair professionals to meditate, which I'll talk to you more about another day.
I want to get involved. I love that.
Yeah, amazing. That would be so cool. Well, we can definitely chat about collabing or something, because I just feel like we've done this complete beautiful lap. How we was both in the UK at the time, and I came onto Hair Has No Gender training back then, the workshop, and then we've both gone on to do our own things. We both got involved with Tom Chapman, and then Yeah, and then I started my podcast, and then Carol reached out to me, and it's all come back around. And then Carol was obviously telling me about you, and I was like, Kerry, oh my goodness, of course, yes, I need to chat to Kerry. So thank you so much for your time and sharing this. But we will arrange a live chat. I would absolutely love that. And keep me posted with your surgery as well. I'll go sharing your GoFundMe page, see if I can get any little leads towards you. But it's so good chatting to you, Kerry. Thank you.
Let's definitely catch up in the
I would love that. Absolutely.
Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Bye, love. If you have been impacted in any way from today's conversation with Kerry, please do reach out to Kerry like they expressed in this episode. Kerry has until the 1st of April to receive further donations for their top surgery. A link for this will be in the show notes. So I trust if you feel called to help in any way you can, whether that's £1, £10, or £50 or dollars, I strongly encourage you to do so. Thank you so much for listening and supporting a Wholeness podcast. It really would mean a lot if you could leave a star rating and or review. It is now the time to really ramp this podcast up and gain more traction and momentum. Please share this episode with friends, family and colleagues.
As always, stay tuned and stay real. Join me every Wednesday for a Wholeness podcast. I'll catch you real soon. Peace, love and light.